One morning this past winter, Krista Riblett walked to school in just a sweatshirt. No hat, no scarf, no gloves.
I wear a hoodie because that's what most of my kids show up in. I could bundle up, but that's just not the reality for a lot of our kids.
Riblett, an elementary teacher for Elkhart Community Schools, wanted to feel what it was like to walk in the shoes of some of her own students. Budget cuts meant the school district had to reduce the number of buses, and students who lived less than 2 miles from their school had to find their own way to get there. This saved some money, but put an increasing strain on students and parents. And when students finally got to school, they sat in classrooms lacking updated technology and regular maintenance, another thing the district had fallen behind on.
All of the schools in the district, projects that had been put off because we had this $16.6 million shortfall over the last 5 years.
Things started taking a turn for the worse in Elkhart, and in about a third of districts across the state in 2008, when lawmakers tweaked the property tax system. Districts have scaled back key programs and neglected structural improvements for long periods without sufficient funds. More districts are resorting to referenda to try and close budget gaps. Since November of 2008, Indiana has seen 102 school-related referenda, and about half have passed. The rate is improving. In this month's primary election, voters approved 9 out of 10 referenda that were on the ballot, including 2 in Elkhart. Purdue University agriculture economics professor Larry DeBoer says the recent success might be a result of good timing.
Oh my goodness, have we been seeing May elections do a whole lot better as far as the school corporations are concerned than November elections? Since households with kids are a very small share of the total number of voters out there, when everybody shows up, the referenda tend to lose. So I think it's the motivated parents that show up in May that makes the difference.
Parents, teachers, and other grassroots community groups were key in pushing Elkhart's measures through, according to Doug Hassler. He's the executive director of support services for the district.
I don't think you stand much of a chance of passing a referendum unless you have a program that the community has had input into shaping. There's absolutely a great need to draw out people who are willing to volunteer their time and try to take that message to members of the community.
A lot of people didn't understand some of the idiosyncrasies of how our school system works.
Krista Riblett canvassed neighborhoods as part of the Yes for Elkhart Community Campaign Group. She made countless phone calls and monitored social media to educate her neighbors on the referendum issues.
I feel like the response that I got was that people felt very educated and well-informed about it.
She says it paid off in more ways than just getting that yes vote.
That yes vote was a faith vote. They believe that we're doing this in the best interest of our students. So that's our goal, is to now continue to educate and to be accountable to the voters of Elkhart County so they can see exactly where the money is being spent.
Residents will now spend an extra 18 cents per $100 of their property's value annually to help Elkhart Community Schools raise $47 million. The district's walk zone will shrink, but it hopes community awareness will grow. For State Impact Indiana, I'm Rachel Morello.